Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fire Team Chat, everybody. Happy holidays.
Indeed.
Yeah, we're recording a few episodes ahead of time, so you have an episode on Christmas. You get your Fire Team Chat show from IGN. So happy holidays, everybody. Yeah, we planned ahead.
I hope you put bells in the background right now and snowflake sounds. And
with the holiday theme, we're going to talk about our wishes for Destiny. Joining me to talk about this is Fran Mirabella.
Hey, everyone.
And Sean Finnegan.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So, guys, it's a holiday.
It's a guardian Christmas, everyone.
It's a guardian Christmas.
I don't know what that means, but...
And for the holidays, we're going to talk about our wishes for Destiny 2. So these are big picture items that we would like to see implemented for the sequel of Destiny, or Destiny Year 3, as you pointed out.
As everyone's listening right now, I hope that they did my biggest wish for right now, which is the ugly Christmas vest for your guardian,
like
blinking lights and a horrible design that we can all wear around the tower.
The sparrow outfits.
Yeah, no way, they look great.
Did you see the photo that I tweeted out of my sparrow?
It's like
sparrow.
A mishmash.
It's super pink and like really colorful and yellow and blue. It's ugly.
Mine's on lockdown, man. I got Tristesse shader with my Arc Runner. It's dope.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, so this is not about that.
Yeah, definitely not about that. I hope you guys are all having a happy holiday. First up, my wishes for Destiny 2.
Or Year 3 big update, whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is.
It's a $60 game, if that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because as a reminder, Taken King, Year 2 was technically, about $45 or whatever.
Yeah, $40.
So
yeah.
You didn't have to, you know. And well, that was if you owned Year 1, but
yeah,
you
definitely
get the idea.
So my big wish for Year 2 is... an overhauled Crucible system. Crucible is one of my favorite aspects of Destiny, actually. There's problems there with lag and stuff once in a while, but overall, it is a great experience.
Yeah.
I would like to see Destiny 2 improve that experience with things that Bungie did with Halo. For example, imagine if you could make custom playlists in the Crucible and set up your own modifiers, like have Rift, but like maybe there's two Rifts, like you make like a capture the flag sort of game type, just kind of community driven set pieces sort
on
of
your
like
own
that.
Server as
yeah,
well
custom
on,
games,
yeah
custom
dedicated
games.
Server
yeah definitely. What if you could make maps like in Forge, like take elements of the Destiny world and make like
map
really
making?
Really cool maps, that'd be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, would
they
be.
Did it with Halo, what was it, 3?
Yeah.
Halo 3 had the Forge map maker for the first time.
And I mean, as much as, I played so much. I think of all of the Halos, I think Halo 3 is the one that I played the most. And a huge part of my multiplayer experience was definitely involved with the Forge. Me and my friends, like, jumping into a map, like, sourcing items, building structures, playing the maps. Sometimes it would be like, let's make an actual balanced map that we would love to play. And sometimes it'd just be total nonsense. Well, let's put, like, this tiny, tiny map, but put, like, 3 scorpions in it. And it's just a lot of fun. It can get super crazy. I mean, with how... detailed the environments and world is in Destiny, do you think that that tool like that could even be built?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think they would probably need a new engine from the one that they're using.
Because even just to point it out, in Halo 5, the Forge maps definitely look like, in terms of their design and detail, a step lower than the officially licensed 343 multiplayer maps. Not a concern because they all play really well, but at least for me, but a lot of community members have voiced, hey, these don't look as cool as the other ones. You think that'd be a concern?
You're talking about 3, right?
No, I'm talking about 5 now.
Oh, 5.
It's talking about 5. Just a lot of the community maps, like especially the first two that launched officially and were made, like 343 kind of helped with those. They weren't great. I think they actually pulled them from Halo 5 eventually. Like, they just took them out of rotation. You could still play them, but...
Well, so it's a little bit strange. With the Battle of Shadow and Light, which is the name of the update, which introduced Big Team Battle, the four Forge slash 343 maps that were designed were Big Team Battle maps specifically. So they had their own playlist. That's kind of the big difference. But with how flexible the tool Forge is, you just kind of lose out a little bit on super high detail and like really finely tuned like shrubbery and caves and detail just in the environment that makes the maps feel as immersive as they are.
Yeah.
I worry, I think it'd be really cool to have that in Destiny, but I worry you may have the same effect that Halo 5 has had as a result of that. I'm
Those are some challenges that the Halo franchise has faced, but like for the Destiny world, Bungie has built the Forge Maker already.
Yeah.
They know what works and what doesn't and what the community wants, so they could improve upon that.
Map making and community maps would be cool, obviously.
Yeah,
that's a no-brainer. When you said it, I hadn't even been thinking about it. So, but what are you trying to say fix, for example? So you think, you know, there's not enough good maps or
no? I think the maps are really great, actually. I mean, if you're looking at technical things that they need to fix, there's a lot of server issues right now. Last few daily matches, I've just been kicked near the end of the match, then I come back in and I have 0 points, and then the match ends, then I get my marks, and I'm just like, that's kind of a mess. A lot of the beetle and errors, etc., like that whole server side thing, those are improvements that they need to make. Overall, I feel like the multiplayer playing field is pretty even. You know, if they could balance weapons from the start, though, like launch Destiny 2 with a really balanced weapon structure, maybe one or two.
What does balance mean, though, for you?
Just even. So, like, autos can go toe-to-toe with pulse, you know, because right now, pulse rifles, like, just decimate everything. And how it's supposed to work is, like, pulse and scouts, like, pulse are, like, medium range, scouts are supposed to be long range, but that's just not how it works. So I think they would have to like look at the weapon infrastructure that they've built with Destiny 1 and kind of reevaluate.
I don't know.
Sequel.
Like the improvements that they've made recently, I think, are noticeable. And it's hard, but like, right, like I find you get this impression that, well, I can't use whatever. Whatever, this scout right now, because now I'm playing up really close, so I should have just used last word or whatever. But that's sort of the whole reality of understanding how you play on each map, right? Yeah. Different maps, different weapons, different play styles that you have to figure out. I'm not saying that it's totally balanced.
Yeah.
What I mean is I do think it has a pretty decent balance. Like, I was just rocking it with Monte Carlo the other night. You know, no problem going toe-to-toe with the shotgunners, you know, the pulse rifle folks.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the map, you know, and how you're playing that night.
Yeah, they got rid of shotguns as king, you know, in the Crucible recently.
Yeah.
But, I mean, brutal, they're still
get wrecked in trials by shotguns.
Yeah, there's still weapons that, you know, our king, like, it's like you use these weapons or these weapons if you want to win. And that's still kind of an issue. I would like to see that kind of smoothed out a little more. It's something they've been working on with Destiny 1. And I think really they would need like a new engine. They'd have to like have new weapon types would be great. Like dual wielding was introduced in Halo 2. That was
record that I think dual wielding ruined Halo 2. So I do not want that.
Okay.
But I like where your head's at. I think... To me, I've said this before on the show, or maybe it was on Unlocked, but I've definitely said it on the record before, that to me, balance doesn't mean, especially in a competitive game, balance doesn't mean that everything's viable. What it means is that the playing field can be even, all things considered equal. So, for instance, Halo 1, I think, is perfectly balanced, even if the pistol is superbly overpowered. Why? Because everyone has that pistol.
Yeah.
So if you're not using it, then you're being a detriment to your team by not using it. I think... Destiny, as it stands right now, most of the weapons are pretty viable. Like in, like Fran pointed out, it's situational. It depends on the map. It depends on where you're fighting and what you're trying to do and what role you're playing on your team. But there's only a few standout options that seem a little like they're a little bit broken. Like shotguns still aren't completely fixed. I get wrecked by them with trials.
Like when Thorn like a fusion. Was king.
Yeah.
But you see, that was the thing. I liked that. I actually thought
I did too.
I actually thought that era of House of Wolves, the Thorn Last Word era, that's the most balanced Destiny's ever been because everyone used Thorn or Last Word.
Yeah.
It made it perfectly balanced.
We both are a little biased. We all both are a little biased because we love the pistols. We just like how they fired. We like how they controlled. And shotguns were severely broken in that era.
So
like
I think shotguns were broken, but I actually think it was more Blink that was broken. Mm-hmm. It was more Blink shotgun than it was just shotguns. Yeah. And again, that's the thing is, to me, that's balanced. Why? Because if you know shotguns are overpowered, go find the best shotgun, and then you're now overpowered, and you're on the same level playing field as the guy who you thought was imbalanced, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's tough. Like, you want to feel like you have a chance, and that's where it does get tricky. Like, some weapons are going to be the best.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it's designed, and that's to your point. Yeah, you can't just keep using some shotgun that you want
if it's
not as good as the other
one.
Clearly
not as good, yeah.
So you have to adapt. So either, you know what I mean? So
I'm glad you made that point because I think that's the big distinction is I don't think it's a fair argument philosophically to be like, this game's not balanced because I can't use X terrible weapon because I like it and expect to win. Yeah. Like, that's not balanced.
Yeah, you should have a chance. That's part of the point of things. Sometimes people feel like helpless.
But I think there's so many weapons. I talked about it before, but I played against a guy in Trials whose name was No Land Beyond, and he only used No Land Beyond, and he wrecked us all.
Yeah.
Like, we won eventually because good teamwork can, you know, but he killed us so many times. We were like, this guy, dude, he's just like a savant with that terrible weapon. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, that's a good example of where you have a chance for the most part, I think, with guns if you know how to play right.
Yep.
And Destiny launched with vehicles. You may have forgotten, but there was a moon map that was actually fun. I would love to see vehicles again.
I got the moon map. It was in rotation.
No way.
I did, yeah.
Really?
I haven't gotten it ever.
And it was awesome because there were so many new players that had no idea what was going on.
They're like, is this a new map?
Yeah.
Like,
I went in and tested my old, I brought back my Purifier 7, which was my favorite fusion. This was when they rebalanced. I was like, all right, let me hop in. Yeah, and I got the moon map, and man, I was just like wrecking shop because I think people were pretty confused at like where people
were
coming
from. They're like, what are these turrets? What's a tank? There's a tank
here? That's when I tested, I was just like wrecking shop. I was like, fusions are awesome again, but I think it was just that.
That was a fun map because you had to use your supers to get rid of the tanks. Snipers were all over the place. There were some really great sniper spots. I missed that.
The idea was there, definitely, and I agree. Yeah. They need more of that.
Yeah.
It'd be great to have a map like that works, that didn't feel like it lasted forever and started to become tedious, which started to, you know.
So to wrap up my wish for Destiny 2, that would be vehicular maps, maps that people can make, and customize matchmaking.
Yeah. I think that would be really cool. I mean, Bungie hit the trifecta with Halo back in the day with guns, grenades, vehicles, right? Yeah. All of them were perfect in Halo. How are they not in Destiny?
Yeah. You know? Balancing those supers.
They have two out of the three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the grenade types. I love the guns.
Yeah.
But the vehicles leave something to be desired. And actually, I've talked about it before, but like, it'd be really cool to see vehicles just implemented, not just in Crucible, like you asked, but also I think it'd be really great if we had raid encounters or strikes that were a little bit more vehicle-oriented. Yeah. Like, one of your dudes in your, let's say it's a strike, right? Mm-hmm. One of them has to be in a tank laying down cover fire the whole time while other people on the ground are like defusing things or whatever. Something like that would be a cool PvE mechanic that we could see implemented in raids and strikes.
Yeah.
And it's different.
Sean, let's move on to your topic next.
I think he just did.
You were
a little bit, so let's go right into it.
So the thing I would love to see in Destiny 2 or whatever this big content drop for Destiny Year 3 would be is improved and deeper RPG mechanics. Like, one of the things that I've always said about Destiny is it's this great, awesome shooter that feels good to run around in and shoot the guns, and all of the guns are really unique, but it just kind of takes place in this sort of bland and not so deep RPG framework. Like, it aspires to be an MMORPG like World of Warcraft, or have really deep sort of min-maxing mechanics like Diablo 3, but it doesn't quite get there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean is, like, to use a very specific example, I run a Titan, and most of the time in PvE these days I'm running Sunbreaker, but in raids I have to do Defender because Bubble is just incredible, right? But I thought, why don't I run a different Defender build that is less predicated on the bubble and more about this, like, generating orbs and playing a really aggressive playstyle. And what I would do is use Armor of Light for my bubble, Invective, so I'm always regenerating ammo, and then use Overload, which instantly regenerates your melee. And then every time you melee kill something, it gives you an overshield. And every time you get a shotgun kill, it gives you an overshield.
Yeah.
And the idea is that you just run killing all of the adds, and you generate all these orbs and kill all sorts of adds for your team, and it's just a really highly efficient strike build. Turns out that the shotgun and the melee share the same cooldown, and that is not any that like that's not actually written anywhere. I had to go research that online. And I thought to myself, like, that's a great idea for a build that would change the playstyle of the defender in the framework that they've given me, but I can't do it. Why can't I do it? In a game like Diablo or World of Warcraft, I would be able to do it because they give players the freedom to tailor the builds to their exact playstyle and kind of figure out really awesome and new ways to play the classes, which I think is awesome. And I want that because right now, as a Titan, you run the same three things over and over again. Or it used to be two things, but now they nerfed Sunbreakers, right? You either ran Sunbreaker or Defender in raids. I mean, you definitely didn't run Sunbreaker in raids. You ran Defender in raids. And in strikes and PvE or PvP,
yeah, you could do. I never saw a Striker.
Yeah, now you see them a little bit more because they nerfed Sunbreakers, like I said. But if they could give the same depth that a game, and maybe not even the same depth, because it's difficult to compare World of Warcraft and Diablo to a game like Destiny, right? But even just like if you increase the depth by like 25% or 50% and allowed players to kind of do that min-maxing and theory crafting with how efficient they can be, that would be so much more engaging for those really, really hardcore players who are looking for that experience. And that's what I would love to see in Destiny 2.
Another mechanic you've talked about a lot is transmog.
Transmogrification, another thing that is great in terms of flexibility. Like, it really allows you to customize your look, which is, I mean, let's be real, like, that's half of what Destiny is like, how cool does my Guardian look in this gear, shaders and stuff, right?
And sometimes they look really goofy.
And I mean, someone brought it up the other day, but like, one of the coolest cloaks is like this level 10 hunter cloak that you get really early on in the game,
and it's a bummer
you can't use it because your light level would be way too low, right? Like, if I could just use the look of that. Oh, and by the way, for those who don't know, transmogrification is just a mechanic that was introduced in Diablo that allows you
Diablo
to
Diablo or Warcraft first?
I'm pretty sure it was
introduced by Blizzard. Let's stick with that.
I don't want to go 100% on the record, but I'm pretty sure it was Diablo. But it
the
allows
examples
you to,
you're using are that as the point.
Yeah, it allows you to take the look of one item that you've previously discovered and apply it to another item of the same type. So let's say I discovered that level 10 hunter cloak, and I have this other hunter cloak that's way better. I can use that look on this other one. It costs me like gold or whatever. In Destiny, maybe it's glimmer.
Or
please
silver.
Let it be glimmer and not silver, please. But it just allows the game to be a little bit more flexible and tailored to people's play styles and desires in the game. And I think that is what we're looking for in, that's what I'm looking for in terms of the RPG mechanics. Everything else I think is great. It's fun to shoot. It's fun to run. The vehicles are even pretty cool. The maps are good. There's a good variety there.
It's been a big request for sure. It's like, we all have some of our favorite gear. Like, I still like the Vault helmet a ton.
Oh, yeah.
On Warlock. And granted, that's year one, but let's assume that it was year two. You probably still wouldn't wear it because of these problems. It'd be like light level 287 or something.
Yeah.
Like, and I run into that all the time.
But like, imagine if you could be like, okay, so right now, basically in raids, I've only been using Smite of Moraine, right? A Harrowed Smite of Moraine. Yep. I have a 317. It's
pretty.
It's nice
really good. Yeah. It's pretty in terms of its look, but it's also really, really good. But what if I used, like, I want to have, okay, well, let's say I have a 315 hung jury, and it's two light levels less, but it has Firefly, and if I spec one particular thing, in the long run, maybe its DPS is higher. I want to be able to look at, I want a spreadsheet, man. I want to be able to make spreadsheets on spreadsheets and min-max every little thing so that I can make the most efficient Guardian possible for any particular activity.
Yeah.
It's theory crafting, man. Like, that is so much fun. I remember back in the World of Warcraft days, half of the time I played that game, I was tabbing in and out, looking at the forums, being like, how can I play more efficiently? How can I be better at the game? And Destiny just doesn't quite have that depth.
It's close.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because it's intentionally designed, right, as it's deep enough without confusing or alienating new players. I mean, people come into Destiny as is and they're like, what is a raid? Like, seriously. Like, it's a lot of language, it's a lot of stuff. What you're talking about, though, I do think is great. But that, you know, to be fair, I think that's the balance they're trying to strike. Like, it's got a skill tree. Something, but to your point, it's just not quite, you know, as varied as you want it.
Something
to be.
Like this is like total fan service for the hardcore, though. You know, like, obviously Sean would like it. I think it would be really fun.
Totally.
Like, once you got to that level, you know.
And he's entitled to that. I'm just saying, like, background check.
Oh, yeah,
right?
I get it. Yeah.
It's not, meaning, in other words, I don't think they don't want that either, the hardcore at Bungie who are making this game. But how do you strike that design? But that's where I think either way there's room for improvement in the depth, because we all arrive at that certain level. And yeah, like, weapons just sit there dead. Gear goes dead.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, what I'm wearing predominantly after playing Taken King for, I don't know, 150, 200 hours.
Great gear.
Well, no, a mix, but mostly, it's like iron companion boots or whatever.
Yeah.
But the point is, it is tied to light level. It is not tied to look. And even then, like, I haven't, because you can't do Twist of Fate on legendary gear, right? So yeah, you're to your point, Sean, you may not have some of the perks and stuff you want. Like, sometimes I just want to wear whatever, cool-looking boots that help me against Arc Splash. And yeah, like, I want that to be, I think to your point, you want that functionality. And maybe where I was going with it is, you want it in a way where it's additive, but not required.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And I recognize that there are some aspects of the game or some items in the game where maybe you don't implement transmogrification in a blanket way, right? Because sometimes you want to be able to look at a guardian.
Like, an exotic's an exotic.
Yeah, like, you want to be able to know by looking at that gear what it is, right? And if transmog, like, if I could, for instance, it may be deceptive if I go into Crucible and I've transmogged all of my stuff to be like level one stuff and I look like a nobody, but I'm wearing the best gear. Like,
that'd be fun, though.
It would be cool. But that's the thing is, like, with some exotics,
like,
I'm sure,
people,
like,
off.
Like the stag and
they
stuff.
They
like,
would see your light level.
The look.
I mean.
Yeah.
You can't see your enemy's light level without, like, going into the roster. And
that's
looking,
what I was saying, is going to roster.
Yeah.
But good
yeah.
point. It's deeper in there.
I like
that. But that's, I think...
Well, that'd be another thing they would probably
for regular
adjust,
legendary
though.
Gear, I think that's fine. But for exotics, like, it bugs me that you can't... Like, some exotics don't change with shaders.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, totally.
So many of my outfits are ruined by that.
I can't even change the color.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But... Yeah, I mean, I recognize
Destin
some...
Destin loves your top.
Yeah. Or, like, maybe you can't transmog weapons, right? Because those are another iconic
look. Yeah, at first
look.
I thought you mostly meant, you know, just wardrobe and stuff. But but either way, I mean, transmog of any kind on even a few things would be awesome. So I think it's the right call.
Yeah, like, maybe you just make it legendary gear at first and see how that goes.
Yeah, it all goes back to the root of, I think, what you're getting at, right? It is that customization on a deeper level for people who love that. You know, there's people who spend... so many hours, to your point, like, just optimizing and making spreadsheets with friends, and
that's what's so cool to me is, like, if I could look, if you had a 320, you know, I use that example, but if you had a 320 primary weapon and you were like, well, I have this 311 that it doesn't, like, at first glance it doesn't look like it, but with this build I can optimize it so that it is better for this particular situation, and then I'm a god in that particular situation. And you do that for every situation in the game, it just creates this level of engagement that, like, is basically, at least as I've seen, unprecedented in Destiny, right? Like, there are people who've played thousands of hours, but, like, it would be hundreds of thousands of hours if it was that engaging for those people.
Yeah,
I think that's, like, I don't have a problem as a hardcore player of games like this. I think you balance and design for those people.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, like, philosophically, that's the right way to do things.
Definitely. Thank you, Sean. Any
You're
final
welcome.
Thoughts?
No, I mean,
yeah.
Also, in terms of, like, well, I specifically said deeper RPG mechanics, but that also goes for the storytelling side of the RPG.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see... They proved to us before with Taken King that they can tell stories well and cinematically with great memorable characters and performances. Give me that, but tell me the story that was supposed to be in Destiny 1. I want to know what the Traveler's doing on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know who the Darkness is. I want to know what happened during the Collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are all things that establish the world of Destiny, which through the course of this RPG, we've never got any answers to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're only 20% through it, according to the plan.
True, but I mean, like... philosophically, as a storyteller, I think you should tell a story and have it be self-contained, and then you can build upon that as the game goes on, instead of doing 100% over it over the 100% of the game's lifespan. But yeah, like, that part in the original campaign, when you go to, like, the moon or something, and you find that the Hive, I think it's the Hive, have, like, taken a part of the Traveler and are like siphoning its energy through this shard.
And then you stop them and then...
And you stop them and you're like, oh my God, this is a huge plot point. They've taken the Traveler. Mm-hmm. That's how they're like infiltrating all this. And literally that goes nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that story just ends.
A fragment.
A lot of problems with the core
story. Yeah, but like... That's I want to see those narrative threads explored in the definitely. RPG aspect.
Yeah. Obviously, the rumor has been a lot of that stuff blew up, and these are the fragments of that. And
totally.
Pulling together all these things, we saw a little bit in Taken King. So,
but that's what I mean. It's for Taken 2. I would love to see those things explored.
Of course.
Yeah, Fran. What about you? What are your wishes?
Man, where to start for Destiny 2 or Year 3 big update, whatever it may be. As a quick recap, I had trouble choosing because. Couple things that I always talk about. One is sort of the definitely how bosses react and enemies react, right? More reactive. Mm-hmm. I just always like weak points and you know animations, right? When you tag someone in a glowing eye, you know it explodes out and it's now they can't see, right? A little of how like the Vex when you pop their head off. More
Legend
like
of
that.
Zelda. Fran wants more Legend
of
Zelda.
And no, it's Metroid, it's
not
Zelda.
A bad
but
thing
they did,
to sort
no,
of
no, no,
want
no,
to emulate.
I know.
And to be fair, they've done some of that, right? The Cabal, I mean, the shields, the light shields, when they added those in with the Taken Cabal who like push you back, those physics are awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
More stuff like that because...
Takes you by surprise.
It really does, yeah. And I want more of that, but more that's also clever. Like, if I could shoot out that light shield first, so now they can't do it to me. Now I know I can make that jump and not get pushed off. And anyway,
and then
stuff
their
like
whole
that.
Mechanic changes.
Yeah. So anyway, wanted to talk about maybe stuff like that. Another huge thing for me has just been there's so many great weapons and switching, you know, between stuff and heavily in PvE, I will say, because I understand the balancing act in PvP.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is weapons wheel or something that like seriously, if I want to switch between
switching.
A sidearm and a shotgun in the clutch, like why not? You know, but thought a lot about that. That could really change the game. And then obviously one of the other big, big things I always talk about is the time and the convenience of playing and how much joy you get out of every minute. And so out of all that, that's why I recapped the first two. It's the third one that I'm so focused on. So
joy.
It is. I spend so much time sitting around, managing, looking for things, using apps that are not made by Bungie. Thankfully, you know, they have the new item manager, which is improving, but
they're
it's on a laptop, and it's not in the game. So where I'm going with this is, I really do hope this is what they're working on, but you look at the interface for the vault system, your inventory, all that. It is very glossy and pretty, but man, it takes time to load. I can't even get to heavy ammo in the clutch. I'm like, I pick where to hide sometimes, right? Because you know that how long it's going to take.
I can't believe that they didn't implement that with the Taken King. Before that, we were even talking, but, like, give me a way to access heavy, just like with the D-pad or something.
But these are big things. So my point is, I would love to see, and I'm being specific now, so because we've talked about this a lot, I really want to see a dumbed down, to be very direct, like just like the internet, like Google, whatever it needs to be. I mean, that's super like ugly, but you get my point. I want to see just inventory that's super fast, super easy to use, and all of it's there. So on one side, you know, the vault obviously is super important, but just it really is when you think about it. It's rooted in this design that is just, it's pretty. It's awesome. You can inspect. I mean, I do like that, but they somehow got to figure out how to make that just so fast.
Why do we even have a vault? Why not just let us hold everything on us?
Yeah, you get it. Why do I have to go to the tower or pull up an app? The time required to like grab a weapon is absurd, you know, really, because it's punishing. And that's my point. Like, oh, whatever. I want my invective. Like that thought to getting it should literally be like, start, scroll over, infected,
grab it.
Got it.
Yeah.
It is nowhere close to that. And that's my point because that's the stuff for me that really takes away from the game for me. The time that like I want to play and there's all these roadblocks. Mm-hmm. And you know, I understand how they arrive there. You know, again, it's a pretty bold
game. Limitations
well,
of
especially
the engine.
Because like, do you play multiple characters?
I only play Warlock.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
but
you have
yeah,
multiple
I have three.
Characters.
I have three
yeah.
Warlocks.
Yeah, so like back in the day when I was playing three, I'm only playing one now. And eventually I'll move up my second.
So the time.
Like, yeah, when you jump on and you raid and then you're like, all right, new character, switch characters, and now I have to move all of the gear that I want to use like with a phone app, like it's just really annoying. Like how can I just not switch them immediately, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so the next part of this obviously is the weapons you carry and the amount of gear you carry. Obviously there's a balance there because the more that they allow you to have directly in front of you, the more confusing it is to find anything and it becomes very hard to make decisions about what you need to get rid of.
Filters.
Well, yes, but what I mean is I want at least another 3 slots per thing. You know, it's just way too little, if not a lot more than that, especially for weapons, a lot more. But that, again, huge improvement for me. And also, again, a new system that makes it easy to cycle. Like, think of this. Like, sometimes I'm going into trials, and when I want to go to heavy round, right, I actually am planning where I'm putting the weapon.
The weapons, yeah.
Yeah, because the way they change is they change with each other when you reslot them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do this little, like, swapping them to get to, as close to scrolling over to get there.
I do that for multiplayer all the time,
right?
Because sometimes you need to switch between shotgun and sniper. You need to be able to do it quick. And then, like, when you go in your menu, it takes time to load. And you need to be able to do that, especially in multiplayer.
Weapon switching, exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, right, I'm not going to solve this. I mean, I'm sure they've been thinking about it. But that's a big change. Could make a dramatic improvement. Mm-hmm. Weapon switching, weapon organization.
Inventory.
But the vault, man, again, I'm just trying to reduce the need in time. Like, I just want to play the game. I want to go in the Nightfall and immediately be ready without the apps and the this and the that. It's very complicated. So please solve that. But then part of this that I've been thinking about on sort of the easier to play, the time investment, and I don't know if this is just me, but hopefully not. And I'm curious what you guys think. Like, they really got to nail that, like, status looking for in your roster or something, like, of your friends list. Meaning, or even another way, it's solving for LFG as well. But the first step is of my friends, when I want to play, like, Golgoroth Challenge or whatever, ideally it would just say that, like, right in my banner or whatever.
Yeah.
And you scroll over, that's what you know I'm looking for. And even then, maybe you could put out a beacon. Like, I'm looking. Something, maybe you prioritize requests, like, I'm looking on your friends.
A lot of MMOs have done this and done it really well. There's no reason Destiny couldn't come up with a mechanic that would work.
I mean, maybe even tie it to the tower, right? Like, you can go and you can, by entering the tower, you are basically entering, like, a, in World of Warcraft, it was like general chat, right? Or LFG, looking for group, right?
Yep.
But you enter in and you have the option, you don't have to do it, but you have the option of setting a status that says you're looking for group. And if you do that, people can, like, it notifies you or notifies other players in the
that
area or that people are looking or in a queue, that
so
the players who are in queue and want to do something.
Final Fantasy does that too. You just say, I want to do this thing. You go play the game and do other stuff. And then when a group needs somebody, they're like, hey, dude, do you want to join us? And you just go right into it.
Yeah.
It's a really fantastic system.
But again, to stress, first, I'm just talking about with my friends. And I have a lot of, you know, awesome guardians from the show that have added me. And just again, like last night, I'm just looking for 6 people to do Golgoroth Challenge. I'm a third character. And it just takes time. That's all. And I know it'd be, if I literally went into the match, waited there and put out that beacon, it'd probably very quickly there'd be people who are looking. But instead, what happened was, you know, everybody's doing the same thing that we've all done, is you start hovering over people's names. Inspect, okay, he's in, I think he's there.
Well, also,
you don't know.
It would also give players who want to engage in those activities an option of doing that with people that they don't know. Like, let's say you don't have friends or, like, people on your friends list. You can engage with people, like, without having to go to an external site and look for a group that you may or may not go with.
And that's where I think you get into the filters between friends and public and all that. But again, for starters, just with your friends, because, right, those are people you can trust and raid with. We could do the whole song and dance about should raid be matchmaking, but I'm going to skip that part right now and just focus on my ability to communicate what I want to do. And again, time saved in Destiny is fun had, because now I don't feel like it's punishing. I definitely skip things all the time because I'm like, I've already, it's been 30 minutes just to get into the Golgoroth challenge. It's
just
way
to get
too
your,
much.
It took like 30 minutes just to get a group together today.
Yeah, I'm willing to say that upwards of 30% of my playtime is management, looking for people, et cetera. And that's way too big of a number when you got people playing 1,000 hours, 300 hours.
Definitely.
No. Yeah. So last point I was going to make is a little off topic to that, but it was just like, it's in the same vein of sort of how easy it is to do stuff. I think they tried to get there with Prison of Elders. But yeah, like just a two-player, a co-op, a something just very simple to like play with a friend. Doesn't have to be 3, doesn't have to be 6. Like, but go through a story mode that is a little more co-op based, or I don't know what the solution is, but two-player, easier point of entry.
Just more sort of PvE options.
Yeah.
Probably that, you know, but I feel like every time I play, it's gotta be, you know, the 3 people, right?
Yeah.
Traditionally, but it's also not really designed cleverly around 3 people, I would say. And that's a generalization, by the way, but what I mean is maybe there could be some two-player-esque type mode or challenge or something where it's very specific to 2 people.
Depending on how many people you go in with, you get a different experience.
Yeah, maybe it's just a rotation of 2-player strikes. Instead of it being the strikes, you know, there, they have other designs.
Prime.
Yeah.
I've never played that strike since Taken King because it's not in the playlist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, yeah. That was just a general thought. I mean, obviously you can just hop into strike rotations and stuff, but it just feels like it's still missing something with my friends.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Any final thoughts?
No, I mean, I'm excited. Yeah. They made tons of improvements for Taken King. So if that's any indication, I think that was their first step at, let's take what we have, let's clean it up as much as possible. I will say, I don't think you're going to see a ton of big changes like this before this next big update, and hopefully September, October next year. But I hope it's really significant for the next one. I mean, and also, we didn't even get into what the raids could be.
Yeah.
There's a lot they could be doing.
Kind of going off what you were saying, I think a big part of that would be ditching old-gen consoles.
Oh, that's going to happen with Destiny 2. I'm almost convinced that they're not going to do
like, you want to give players like a next-gen, streamlined, fast experience.
Yep.
Make it a next-gen only console.
Yeah, yeah, whatever you need to do to get to where we talked about we want to be, then
definitely.
Move on.
Sorry, PS3 and Xbox 360, I love you.
Yeah.
But
no, technology is
10 years old now.
Super important here. Yeah. You can't make one game for every platform. It's very challenging. Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you for joining me, and thank you for joining us for this holiday episode of Fireteam Chat. This is our Destiny show. You can support the show by leaving a review on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And what else can they do, friend?
You covered it. That's the main one. Get into the comments, have a conversation with your fellow Guardians.
But there's also this really cool shirt.
Yeah, that's right. You can get.
Yeah.
Hopefully you already got one for the holidays. But you can get a Fireteam Chat at go.ign.com/store. Is that right, Destin?
That's correct.
And as always, you can check us out on our Xbox One app, our IGN One channel, which is an always on streaming channel. That, of course, is programmatic, but you'll find us there sometimes chatting in there. And then PS4 or on Amazon, Fire, Roku, and all over the place. So
happy holidays, everybody. Until next time,
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.